Who is Paris, Aristotle?
I'm a boy from Melbourne. My parents were Greek Cypriots and they migrated to Australia many years ago. They've both passed away now, unfortunately. But I grew up here, I studied here, and I've worked here my entire life.
For over 25 years, you've been involved with refugees and refugee policies and asylum seekers. Would you like to talk me through that journey?
It's been the largest part of my professional life by far. I was drawn into it originally through just a general interest from working for many years in Kensington and Flemington, North Melbourne, where there were refugee communities that lived on the different public housing estates. Many of them moved there not long after they arrived and then subsequently would move on. There were people from Vietnam and Cambodia and so forth, but really it was working with people from the Latin American communities where these issues around trauma and torture became most evident. They were prepared to talk about it in ways that other communities were not. And I was about to go on a big overseas trip when I was still young and see the world, and there was a job advertised for 6 months to get this organisation set up. That's all they had the money for one worker. And I thought, oh, it'd be interesting work to do. And I read a book, an autobiography by a Guatemalan woman called Rigoberta Menchú, who won a Nobel Peace Prize. And it was a story about what happened to her and her family and her community in Guatemala. And it had quite a big impact on me. And it made me decide that I would apply for the job. Would be a good thing to do. I would help them get set up, and then after that I would go overseas on my trip. But that was almost 29 years ago, so but it was really that commitment to working on an international human rights issue while I was still here from Australia. So that old adage of thinking globally and acting locally was part of the sort of the philosophy behind my interests and why I wanted to get involved in this.
Where do you think Australia stands when it comes to refugees and with respect to asylum seekers?
You're actually defining the two kind of distinct dimensions to our work in this area. When it comes to refugees that we resettle every year from camps that UNHCR refer to us, we're considered to be one of the best in the world at how we do that, and I believe we are, especially the quality of settlement services that we provide to people. That's more straightforward because the government controls the numbers. They choose who based on the referrals. They plan the services, all of those sorts of things. It's a more straightforward aspect of our humanitarian work. The other dimension, which is about asylum seekers, is much more complex because governments don't control any of the drivers. The drivers are international war and conflict, the fact that there isn't a good international protection system, there aren't enough places where people can live safely who have had to flee wars and conflicts. And because of the void that governments have left, you then see the emergence of things like people smuggling, which seeks to exploit that vulnerability by charging people money to put them in a very dangerous situation on boats and pushing them towards Western developed countries. And the response to that by countries has really been more of trying to fortress themselves from those arrivals, as opposed to finding ways creatively to manage it better. And there's no solution to this issue. The solution is world peace and the eradication of poverty, which isn't going to happen in my lifetime. But there are better ways to manage it. And until the international community deals with that, then they will perpetually be affected by these sorts of policies. So on the one hand, we have been and continue to be excellent in how we resettle refugees. On the other, when it comes to asylum seekers, there's much more work to be done, and it's more difficult work because we don't control everything.
In September, you made a plea to the Prime Minister, Mr. Turnbull, regarding the Manus Island and Nauru detention centres. What was that plea?
I asked them to find people a decent resolution for settlement. So my concern, apart from the concerns I've had about the conditions, I don't think people should be detained anyway. I understand we needed to deal with smuggling, but detention is not a deterrent anyway. So I had concerns about the conditions. I was very concerned about the length of time it had taken. And that length of time was generating very severe psychological consequences for people, including children. So really what my plea was for the government to move more quickly to find permanent outcomes for people, either here in Australia or in another country, a decent country, like the US, which they're now pursuing to do. Because you can't leave people in limbo for that long. That sense of hopelessness is what really eats away at them, at their mental health. And so that's what that plea was about, is that if you're not going to bring them to Australia, then you're obliged to find somewhere else for them to go and rebuild their lives. Been negotiating with the United States, but now that Donald Trump is president, that arrangement was in place with Barack Obama. So we just have to wait and see what happens with respect to President Trump. I think our relationship with the US is multi-leveled and layered. It's not just about one or two different things, and it's long-term, and we're part of an alliance and so forth. And the main issue that's been expressed by President Trump has been that they wouldn't want anybody to come to the US that they don't have all the information about or that they can't be confident about. Well, in the case of people in Nauru and PNG, there's more information about them than any other refugee group anywhere in the world, because of how long they've been there, because they've been assessed by the Department of Immigration, by the governments of Nauru and Papua New Guinea. They've had health services provided to them for a long period of time. There's a lot of knowledge about those individuals. So that extreme screening model that President Trump was talking about, this group would qualify under that. So I'm hoping that the strength of our relationship and those other things mean that he will support that agreement. And it's critical that he does, actually.
Have you been following the Syrian refugee crisis, especially with respect to Greece, and how do you believe Greece is handling the situation?
I think Greece has been, at one level, very generous in terms of its response to asylum seekers. I think, though, the sustained large numbers of arrivals into Greece, which has its own problems economically, and the failure of the rest of Europe to put together a viable response is probably generating much more pressure in Greece than it may have a year or 18 months ago. So I imagine that they're struggling. I imagine they will be struggling in the context of winter and how to care for them. A single country like Greece or Italy or whatever, on their own, have no chance of being able to respond to this. And so I hope that the rest of Europe thinks much more generously and creatively about how to deal with this issue, so that countries like Greece, which are the first port of call into Europe, are not left carrying an overwhelming share of responsibility. Because that then breeds discontent within the general population, and that can then get projected on the asylum seekers and refugees, and it just manifests into an awful situation. So I'm hoping that can be prevented.
Victorian of the Year awards and potentially Australian of the Year. What is your reaction?
Well, look, I was overwhelmed in the first instance. I had no idea I had been nominated. I didn't seek a nomination for it. I was very surprised but also very proud to be chosen as the finalist, mainly because it's a reflection of the work. And no one actually ever wins these awards based on their own work. It's always many people, and I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of people at my organisation, the Victorian Foundation for Survivors of Torture, with people around the country in a whole range of different capacities for a long time now. And in a sense, I know that while I'm the beneficiary of that award, really it's a collective effort with all of those people, and I hope everybody sees it in that way as well, because not one person can be responsible for all of this. It's a team effort.
If indeed you are bestowed with the Australian of the Year Award, what would be your first priority?
I want to be careful not to just make these issues the only issues that I think people should be thinking about. So I'd want to be respectful to the whole range of challenges in the Australian community that are being dealt with. I'd want to be able to promote a more balanced and sensible discussion in the political and wider community spheres about how to deal with these issues, where we are prepared to examine all of the evidence and think about compromises that will help us manage this issue better. There's no solutions, there's just better ways of managing it. And we won't find those better ways unless we can talk about it more respectfully. So that's my highest priority. In practical terms, I want to encourage more emphasis on building and strengthening our regional systems so that hundreds of thousands of people can be stabilised and protected and able to live decent lives while they're being processed and longer-term outcomes are being found for them. Because in the end, I think that's the only sustainable way to deal with these issues properly. So, I'd like to bring a bit of voice to those sorts of things, and also to provide the reassurance that there isn't anything for us really to be scared of. We've been doing this for 60 years now, and we've done it remarkably well. And we can continue to do it remarkably well. And we should use that as the basis of our future discussions and thinking, not the other things that are presented as problems or difficulties or risks or so forth. We're very good at resettling refugees. We've done it for many, many years, and that's what we should have confidence in.